Yeah, they had us the first half, I'm not gonna lie.
Oh, could be Wayne!
I think I got my swagger back. Oh, oh!
Woo-hoo! I love it, baby!
Them orange britches! Something about them orange britches!
Ball hit high in the air into right field. Going back is Sayre. And Tennessee can say hello, Wind Column. A grand slam in the bottom of the ninth. You can't draw it up any better.
We just won a basketball game, and we're very happy right now.
I made up my mind. I don't expect to ever look back. I'm going to stay at the University of Tennessee. Yeah!
And welcome into More Important Issues. It is Wednesday, June 8th. Coming at you guys a day early. It is Super Regional Weekend. Vols hosting the Notre Dame. I assume they're the Fighting Irish. Could just be Irish. I don't know. I don't care. It's not a big deal. That John Wilkerson call, though, still gets me fired up every time I hear it. And especially when getting the mindset ready for this weekend. This is it. Two wins left. Could be three games till the Vols get to Omaha. Obviously, big weekend ahead. Kind of upset. We couldn't get the Saturday, Sunday, Monday if needed. But hey, we're not complaining. We're just glad we're here.
Yeah, and from the looks of it, it looks like you'll face Notre Dame's ace on Saturday. So it'll be kind of ace versus ace. He pitched 7 2/3 on, and I think 107 pitches on Sunday. So he will rest up on that Friday night and be back on Saturday. So here's the thing. They've already started. Number one, they just I don't know why teams continue to give Tennessee bulletin board material, but here we are. Link Jared, their head coach. Where did he say that? This is on Tennessee's power this season. They're powerful, but I think their field plays far differently than ours. I don't want our guys to look at it like it's crazy power. It is good power, but some of it is because of the park itself. Dude, we've hit 150 home runs.
It's also a really dumb argument since we're playing in that park.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my gosh.
So what, yeah, you idiot. Should be very afraid.
Listen, and then
there was their left fielder also made comments. Did you see that?
Yes. Go ahead and read. I didn't read all the comments. I saw where they
were.
Yeah,
so left fielder Ryan Cole said, I couldn't tell you exactly what they see, but if I were them, I'd be a little scared. I think we're a very dangerous team.
Do you think this is one of those they're just trying to, like, speak it into existence for themselves? They're trying to convey the confidence that Tennessee conveys on a date? Like, they're going toe-to-toe with a giant. They don't believe in themselves to be David, so they've got to believe in themselves to be another giant.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I just don't understand. Like, I mean, do a little bit of scouting, a little bit of research, and know that every time somebody has done this to Tennessee, they've made them look absolutely stupid.
Yeah, and again, the comments don't make sense. Anyways, so yeah, it's just a pretty dumb thing to do all around, to even make the comments. To make those kind of comments, and then the comments themselves are stupid. So, yeah, like you said, get Tennessee fired up. You think people would know by now to not kind of poke the bear? Tennessee's not going to go lightly on you whether you say good or bad things about them anyways. But maybe don't get them even more fired up. Like that's just an obvious mistake.
Yeah, and looking at this matchup, I just like it. I like it because, yeah, you get Notre Dame as one of the best pitching staffs in the country. They're ranked 7th in ERA, but guess what? So does Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Tennessee also has one of the best offenses in the country. Notre Dame does not.
No.
They're last in hits, last in runs per game, I think. Last in walks, last in doubles, last in home runs in the ACC. So they don't hit for power. They got three guys that has hit double-digit home runs. The best offensive team they played this season was Louisville, and they got swept. They didn't play Georgia Tech. They ran into UNC in the conference tournament, got beat. They scored 11 runs this past weekend in a regional. 11 runs, that's it.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest thing. We talked about how powerful that regional was in Knoxville, and Tennessee still kind of held their own. I know maybe more runs than Tennessee normally would give up in a weekend, but it was three different opponents too. It wasn't the same opponent in normal series. And you mentioned that Notre Dame doesn't have the power that Georgia Tech has. They don't have the batting average is like the first thing that popped out to me. When you look at this lineup, Georgia Tech had, I mean, everyone was pretty dang close to 300, if not over. And Notre Dame has nothing like that. I think they were one of the more efficient base running teams in the ACC. Well, that doesn't matter if you can't get on base against Tennessee. And then I also like the way that Tennessee has controlled the bases in the postseason. I thought they've done a much better job of that, especially like you saw in Hoover. So those things are not concerning. This team doesn't match up great to Tennessee. I think it'll be a tough test. I think Notre Dame is playing good baseball right now. But we go back to Tennessee's playing good baseball right now. So that also kind of counterbalances. You can't just look at one team and go, oh, they're scary because they're playing good baseball. I think it's going to be a good weekend. I think Tennessee could easily be done on Saturday night.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you can – the most you can score in a regional is 6 runs – you're going to have a hard time keeping Tennessee's offense to score more than that.
Yeah, and then you got to think that confidence is just booming right now after the 9th inning on Sunday night.
Well, that's the thing is, like, we almost scored more in that inning than Notre Dame did, like, the most in their game. How many did we score? 5? They scored 6 against Georgia Southern on Saturday, so
yeah. –
I just really like this matchup. You know, you mentioned they're good at base running. I think Ryan Cole is 20 for 21 stolen bases on the season, but they're dead last in the SEC in on-base percentage. So, you know, they got to get on base, and that's not an easy task. It seems like for them in the ACC, it's going to be even tougher when they face a pitching staff like Tennessee has.
Yeah, and you can't – and – you look at Notre Dame, and they've got 2 solid starters, a decent bullpen. So when you look at trying to work this series and you try to get into people's bullpen, when you look at Tennessee, all right, you hope Dolander has a night similar to that he had against the Camels there. Well, Tennessee's still got a deep bullpen that you've got to get past. You get them into the 7th and 8th inning, well, you could just be staring down a Redmond Walsh, maybe a Ben Joyce that you didn't see much of this weekend. Depending on when you throw the thrill in there. I mean, there's a lot of guys that can come in and close out games in tight situations. Or, like they did Sunday night, prevent games from getting out of hand and give Tennessee's bats time to come around. It's just impossible. To this point, it's almost been impossible to manage Tennessee's full lineup, looking at the bullpen and then their batting order. I mean, it's Kentucky's been the only team that's been able to do it, and they lost the most crucial one of it all to Tennessee.
Right, and if you have good pitchers, you know, I think you can keep Tennessee down for a little bit. But again, like that 9th inning, you know, they can score 5-6 runs in an inning at any time.
Yeah, and just negate everything that you did for 9
right.
runs.
just don't think the lineup can keep up with Tennessee's. That's the difference in this series. You know, I would much rather face a team like Notre Dame who, you know, isn't great hitting the ball, you know, maybe as the pitchers, but not great hitting the ball. And especially like you kind of mentioned, in our ballpark.
Right.
Then I would Georgia Tech or Campbell, a team that can hit one out more than every batter in their lineup.
Yeah, we discussed on Monday in that bat flip, more important issues combo show there. I think Dylan asked what we kind of thought of the regional. Not that I think Tennessee had a super tough regional. I think it was plenty challenging. There were some tough games there. I like what you said. I'd rather play Notre Dame than Georgia Tech or Campbell in a three-game series.
Yeah, absolutely. And with the three-game series, I think you can run into maybe a team like a Wright State or something in one game. But in three games, Tennessee isn't having two off games.
Yeah, it's
Chase Dolander isn't having back-to-back, you know, not great outings.
Right. It's happened one time. Bad weekend in Lexington. You can't excuse it because it was a loss, but there was bad weather. Something about Lexington just takes literally the worst out of Tennessee, so good for Kentucky in that. Good for the state of Kentucky there. But, and you said it, since Hoover, Tennessee might be playing their best baseball right now, which is absolutely insane because of what they've done this season.
Yeah, I mean, top to bottom, I would say maybe pitching-wise is taking a little step back just because of, you know, Drew Beam and Chase Burns have kind of hit a little freshman wall, I guess.
But really, only in that starter role. Like Chase Burns has looked good out of the pen.
Yeah, he looked okay the other night. You know, the walks is what's getting them in trouble. Right. If they can continue to throw strikes, I don't think they'll be an issue. But you continue to put runners on base, you put yourself at risk for some more runs. And it
changes your approach too. It's hard to you put one or two guys on, and it's hard to just attack the strike zone with a ton of confidence, because that one run shot turns into a two or three run shot if he gets onto it. So it definitely changes that mentality. I don't disagree, but I mean, those guys have been solid all season. And I mean, if you go back and look at Drew Beam, you know, how many did he struggle with poor officiating? You know, it doesn't help when you can't, it's hard to command the strike zone when you don't know what the strike zone is.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully we have a little better consistency behind the plate this weekend.
I think was it the Tennessee Tech game that the strike zone looked like the state of Tennessee? Sunday looked more like the state of Texas, maybe. It was all over the place.
Yeah, I mean
Redmond Walsh's last three pitches were the same. He went ball strike in the last three pitches of the game.
Yeah, that was I was about to bring that up. I was like, I don't know if that third strike is close. But, I mean, maybe Tennessee benefited. I'll take that one. If we get screwed the whole entire game, we're up, and we get one call and that's it, I'll take it all day long.
I don't disagree with that at all. We got it when it counted. Because that would have been a –
Here's the thing. You got the bases loaded. Hey, swing the bat.
Yes.
Don't get mad about the call. I'm pretty sure he – did he – not swing at anything? I don't think he swung at all.
I watched that John Boy video earlier, so yeah, that's how I got reminded of it. And I don't know if he showed all the pitches. That's the thing. He didn't swing at the last three pitches. He didn't.
Right.
None of, and they were all three the same. They were just a breaking ball high in the zone. So, I mean, I think a lot of coaches would walk away and you know, you would be talking about that the next day for sure. About not swinging at that.
Yeah. Too close to not swing at it. But, again, I like this matchup. Notre Dame is a pretty veteran team. They don't make a lot of mistakes in the field. I think they have the fewest errors in the ACC this season, has the best fielding percentage as well. So they're not going to make a ton of mistakes in the field. But, again, I just – I have a hard time thinking you're going to hold Tennessee to three or four runs in a nine-inning game. And I think that's the only way Tennessee loses a game. And I don't think they're going to have two bad games in a series. So I think Notre Dame you know, maybe you could have benefited from being in Tennessee's regional, because then you have that chance of maybe getting Tennessee on an off night. But
right.
with, you know, having to win two games, it doesn't matter when their ace pitches. You got to win two games.
And I know you probably want to rest him more. Going from, you know, Sunday to Friday isn't very ideal. But I think you kind of – I think you said he pitched 107 on Sunday, but if I'm a team trying to knock off the number one team in the country that's as hot as Tennessee is right now, I think I'm trying to steal that Friday game. A game that you don't have a midweek game right now. You didn't have, I don't know, you know, and it's a different approach all the time. But yeah, it's trying to steal one when Tennessee has a chance to. If it comes down to Saturday and Tennessee won Friday, trying to steal one when they have a chance to advance is going to be a lot harder.
Yeah. Yeah, Austin Temple's been good for them. He's 4-1 on the season. I think he's got 16 appearances, 13 starts. I mean, that just tells me, like, either your offense can't back you up or, you know, you're not pitching – you know, deep into the game.
Mm-hmm.
If you're 4-1 with 13 starts.
Yeah, that's not a great stat line. And that's definitely not good when you look at Tennessee's ability to get into – you talk about are you getting pulled early and things like that. Tennessee has an ability to – Sunday, Maxwell, is that Bamp's name? Went probably longer than he should have, but I don't know how you don't ride him. After he pitches that performance, you ride him, but he probably pitched a few at-bats longer than he should have. So Tennessee's ability to get in the bullpens helps him a lot. I mean, I guess that's, you know, we talk about what it takes to beat Tennessee. You need Tennessee to be off is a big deal. When Tennessee has let pitchers control the game and short at-bats, swing it, impatient at-bats, and they can go for long periods of time, that's what's killed Tennessee. But when they – are smart in their approach and patient, it's hard to have a pitcher just control the game, an opposing pitcher, and it hasn't really happened yet besides those losses, a few of those losses.
Yeah, and lefties kind of give Tennessee a little trouble anyways, so that's what John Michael Bertrand is. That's Notre Dame's ace. He's a big lefty that they'll throw, and, you know, I'm sure they'll try to ride him as long as you can, but
mm-hmm. –
I mean, we saw the Maxwell's great. 11 strikeouts. Hey, you ride that kid. But at some point, he comes out. He ain't throwing a complete game.
Right.
And when they did, that's when Tennessee just all hell broke loose.
Yeah. I mean, that just speaks to Tennessee's ability to play, for a full nine-inning game. And then also, I mean, we talked about how Tony Vitello looks like a genius there, down, you know, going into the ninth inning with all those changes. You can't just rely on having a bad night from nine guys in the lineup. There's, I think, is it three guys on our bench right now with double-digit home runs, solid batting averages, and those guys can be brought in at any moment. And then you got a guy who hadn't played much in Jared Dickey, who, if he gets a chance to be at the plate, he's probably not running the base path, but he's getting on.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look at Christian Moore. I mean, he goes 2-for-2 with 3 RBIs and 2 pinch hits on Saturday and Sunday. And, you know, he probably starts for anybody else, maybe in the country.
Probably in the country.
Yeah.
Probably in the country.
So, I mean, you just got an embarrassment of riches there with not only your pitching staff, but your lineup as well. And, you know, I just don't see them holding Tennessee to where it's, you know, you're in the ninth and got a chance to win. I just don't see two games happening like that.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think it's going to be a great series. I think, you know, I think Notre Dame's, you talk about what they can do in the field. I mean, Tennessee does feast on mistakes. Not that that's what it takes for them to win, but you go into look at that Georgia ninth inning game, that they do feast on it. And that's, I think, too, what kind of separates good from great teams. When teams make mistakes, do you let them out of it, or is that when you step on their throats? And so it is going to be harder to find those mistakes in this series, but Tennessee takes advantage of them. And even the ones that aren't really mistakes, you look at going back to the Jared Dickey pinch hit, the Kyle Booker pinch run. I mean, we can say that ball should have gotten out of second baseman. Langston? Is that Langston for Georgia Tech?
The second baseman?
Yeah. What was his last name?
No, that's he's their leadoff guy.
Yeah. Anyways, I mean, you can say he could have made a better play, but how much of a better play could he have made? So even in those situations when they're just not – they're just making decent plays. Tennessee's feasting on those mistakes. And so that and you know, that gets a rally.
Chandler Simpson.
That's Simpson. Don't know where I got Langston from. But Tennessee pounces on those opportunities. So it's not even just flat-out errors. It's not just errors. It's not making – excellent plays that, Tennessee's able to make. You look at that Jordan Beck hit. Yeah, he shouldn't have ran forward, but I'm not confident he catches that ball. Anyways, it's hit so hard. You had a great view of it, and it just never really came down. So, I mean, does he ever start running backwards? I mean, so it's one of those things that Tennessee just makes the most of their opportunities. So going into the three-game series, does Notre Dame steal one from Tennessee? Probably. It's postseason baseball. It's just kind of the mayhem that comes with it. But doing it twice, that's the real challenge. I mean, that's what I don't think Notre Dame can do.
Yeah, and I won't get to go Friday and Saturday. So, you know, as much as I'd love Tennessee to just close it out on a Saturday and, you know, avoid any kind of nervousness going on Sunday, selfishly, I wouldn't be totally upset if it does go to three games.
Agreed. Same. And I think we need to talk about, is the NCAA trying to hold more important issues down with these schedules? They're trying to keep us out of the ballpark. That's what it seems like. I'm not a conspiracy guy, but I also kind of am. So I think the question has to be asked.
Yeah, they're keeping me from those nachos, man. That's what it is.
Are you going to – we got to get you some nachos for both games.
That's true. We got to. But it does – I mean, does it matter that it's not in Lindsey Nelson? Is it just something about the cheese?
It might be. That cheese is really good. In the MVP room. That cheese. Maybe we can get you over to like Barley's or something. They've got pretty good beer cheese. Something equivalent. Yeah. I don't know if Barley's does. We'll find some good beer cheese downtown for you, just in case. Yeah, it's. I think the question has to be asked though, and I'm not saying I'm a good luck charm, but I'm not a bad luck charm. So
that's a good point.
That's all that matters. It's a big weekend. I'm excited that they're redoing the big orange, what are they calling
block
it?
Party.
Block party.
Watch party. Yeah,
watch whatever. Party. It's going to be in right field. I think that's going to make it, just as much fun as it was down the left field line. That crowd gets a little rowdy too. There's noise carryover. So I think it adds another element of home field advantage, if you will. This is not going to be a friendly environment. We don't care that you're Catholic. Don't care what God you pray to. We're going to beat you. I mean, that's just that. And we don't care if we play in a small ballpark either. You got to play in that same. That's again. I just don't. We have been very fair to our ballpark and calling it, you know, what it is. But it's an incredibly stupid argument when you're talking about a series that you have to play that same ballpark.
Yeah, and it's not so small where it's like those home runs are caught. They're not.
No. I mean, Courtland Lawson freaking roped one, and it didn't go out. So it's not – it's just, you know.
Yeah, I think
it still takes a well-hit ball.
The only one that I'm thinking is not, like maybe caught somewhere else is that one where the guy lost his hat over the – I don't remember who that was against.
Missouri, I believe. It was Friday night against Missouri.
Yeah. So that's the only one I'm like, yeah, that one's probably caught. But all the rest of them, I mean, like, there's been, I don't know, I can probably 30 of those have been 400 feet plus.
Oh,
maybe more.
I don't know. What are we at? What are we at now? Close to 120?
We're at 150.
We're at 150. Oh, I would guess like 60 or 70 of those have been close to. They're scraping 400 feet if they're not over. They're out. I'll say they're out in every other ballpark in the country.
And here's the thing: we closed that one out at Georgia Tech. Didn't hit a single home run.
That's the scary part too. You look at Georgia and you're like, oh, they can't hit for power. Well, they can't really hit for average either. Tennessee can do both. They don't necessarily rely on the long ball. Do they love it? And do they, again, feast on it? Yeah, absolutely. But it's not the if Tennessee's offense is the train, the home runs are just a luxury car. It's not the whole train. It takes a lot to get that thing moving, and you just get some. You got 150, seats that are luxury, and they just happen to be 400 feet seats. So,
yeah, and if I'm Link Jarrett, I might, hold back on talking about somebody else's ballpark because you're 17-3 at home, away you're 10-8. Oof. So you're not good in any opposing ballpark.
Yeah. Dang. Maybe we need to help them out, and we do need to go play up at Cooperstown.
Give them a chance?
Yeah, give them a chance. Just let them in it a little bit. So that's maybe – I don't know. Again, maybe they're just trying to – maybe they're trying to peacock it a little bit. But I don't know if it's a good idea with this team. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. If I'm DeLucia from Ole Miss, if I'm giving advice, I'm giving Notre Dame and just being like, shut up. No.
Do you not pick up the phone right then and there? But, hey, let me point you to our interviews. And also, I mean, listen, Jordan Beck just reached – I feel like he just saw an increase in his I've been playing a lot of the show lately, an increase in his personality that may have taken his game. You talked about – that is so outside of the realm of Jordan Beck. He may have just reached a new level in his head. What was the movie where they could you take the limit? Is it Limitless? Take the pill and you tap the other 90% of your brain or whatever. Jordan Beck may have just done that by he used a little birdie to help him get there. But I'd be a little scared.
Little Tweety Bird.
Yeah. So yeah, this team's dangerous, man.
Notre Dame. That's what Ryan Cole said. They're dangerous.
Hey, listen, if you've made it this far, you're a good baseball team.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be counting wins as wins yet, especially against the number one team in the country and the hottest team in the country. And I know some people argue Oregon State, but let's be honest. They've never been the hottest team in the country.
And they almost didn't make it out of their regional.
That was a hard – I won't lie. That was a hard game to pick someone to cheer for. I'm glad it was a good game.
Yeah.
Because I kind of wanted to see Oregon State lose just to be like, they're not in Tennessee's category. I mean, they're not even in the same ballpark. And then you obviously Vandy was dead. So I felt like a cruel human being watching just a dead team crawl to the finish line. It put them out of their misery. I'm all for I'm all for euthanization. Like, it just get it over with. So I'm glad to see that happen.
Yeah, Oregon State's 1-1 against Vanderbilt. Tennessee's 4-0. So,
yeah. Yep.
It could be us. I'm 500 against that terrible Vanderbilt team.
A dead Vanderbilt team.
Dead. Yeah. Dead. I want to go over this real quick. It's just kind of some stats on Notre Dame and how they rank in the country. They're 51st in batting average, batting .295, 42nd in runs per game with 7.7. 78th in home runs. They have 68 on the season. Put that in perspective, Tennessee is 150. So do the math. And they're 7th in ERA. I think that 3.38 is what they are. I think Tennessee's 2. They're 3.82. Tennessee is 2.38.
Yeah, and I think that also kind of speaks to the – tenacity that this Notre Dame team has, which I mean can make postseason teams dangerous. Look at college basketball, you get the 16 seed St. Peter's that talent wise doesn't belong there. So I mean, I think that does make postseason teams dangerous, but you still got to play the game against that opponent. It's not a roll of the dice at this point. Yeah. It obviously you still have to play it. But Tennessee has the upper hand. They've got the most talent, but they're also playing really, really good baseball right now.
Yeah. Notre Dame, I mentioned they have a lot of veterans. Their two starting pitchers, Austin Temple and John Michael Bertrand, are both graduates. And then you have three graduates in your starting lineup. You have four seniors, one junior, and one freshman. So, you know, just a load of kind of experience within that roster. And I think they are a good baseball team. You know, I'm sitting here kind of bashing them a little bit just because I'm a little mad that they kind of try to stir the pot there. And at this point, I don't think they have a pot to piss in.
But that's the thing. You can point to say that you're a good baseball team. We can sit here and say that, but it's still, until you do it, until you put yourself in the same category as Tennessee, you're not.
Yep.
I think, you know, if we want to talk football, because I'm way more of a football guy than baseball. I mean, you know, Tennessee's had the same talent as similar talents as Florida the past couple years. But until you beat them, you can't put yourself in that category yet. Mm-hmm. You've got to beat them. And it's unfortunate, but it's just the way it is. And, you know, Cincinnati, as much as they got to the college football playoff, as much as they had a good season, you proved you're not a college football playoff team by your college football playoff appearance. Notre Dame doesn't get to call themselves the same category as Tennessee just because they made it to a super regional. That's not the way it works. You got to win.
Yep. I agree.
You can't put the title on it before you got it.
Let's get into some stuff maybe Tennessee should clean up a little bit. The first thing for me is, you know, maybe this team, like, it just helps them because they don't really, you know, fold under pressure or anything like that. But I would love us to start fast and not, you know, go down 4-0 and then kind of work our way back.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. I think Tennessee leads by like 100 runs in the second inning this year. I'd love to see that. So it's not like Tennessee can't do it. They've done it plenty. I'd love to see that kind of return this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think some of that comes with the fielding. Tennessee's just got to do a better job. You know, Cortland Lawson, I'm not going to sit here and say that you know, that's a huge issue because it hasn't been until right. This past weekend. So hopefully that's just an anomaly. But and he didn't bring it to the plate. We mentioned that. It was very odd. He just seemed kind of, you know, maybe thinking too fast and, yeah. You know, hesitated a couple times and, you know, rushed to throw. You know, he had that – John Boy had that, you know, kind of remake of that last inning. Dude, third base, he could have –
third base is there.
He could have done a backflip and, you know, threw his glove up in the air and caught it and then threw it to third base, and the guy still would have been out.
Third's there. You know, he mentioned Jarrell was shifted. I don't remember Jarrell really being shifted that much. And you can't see where he was prior to Cortland fielding it. So I think, you know, listen, nothing against Jarrell or Cortland. You know, could he have helped him out and gotten a second a little bit quicker and maybe makes that decision quicker? I don't know, but – and like you said, it's an anomaly for Cortland. It's why he's on the field. It is his glove.
Yep. Yeah, so, just keep the same energy at the plate. I like it. Yep. Let's think a little bit more or think a little bit less, whatever it is,
right.
in the field and get that thing cleaned up a little bit because, you know, he's made some phenomenal plays and – Those plays that he kind of botched the other night weren't him.
No, I'd be shocked if you see two games in a row like that from Cortland. So I expect him to be solid there at short again, and he's been that this year. And talk about cleaning things up for Tennessee. That I think that's really only one of the things you can point to on Sunday. If you're like, hey, what do you got to fix from Sunday? It's just cleaning up the infield errors. Help Luke Lipsius out. He's been such a sure hand at first. Get the ball to him. Give him a chance to make a play.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what it was, but Jarrell had some where he kind of rushed things, rushed a throw.
Yeah.
And Luke bailed him out once or twice. But, yeah, I don't know if it was nerves or, you know. But, I mean, this team just played in Hoover. Like, the nerves shouldn't be – there. So again, I'm not going to really harp on it anymore until I see it again.
Right.
But yeah, that's something that definitely needs to be cleaned up this weekend. And
well, you clean that up and you're like, all right, two games.
Right.
Yeah, I'll see you guys. Yeah. We'll be talking Omaha on Sunday night.
get back to where you belong in Omaha. You know, I want to see a better outing from Chase Dolander, Drew Beam. You know, I don't know who they go with on Saturday, or I'm sorry, on Sunday. Friday's going to be Blade. Right, Saturday's going to be Dolander. Sunday, I don't know, because you're going to go with – it was kind of obvious they didn't pitch Camden Sewell because he was going to go if they played that Monday game.
Right. It was really – it was interesting. The, you know, I don't know what the thought process was. I'd love to hear it in that, you know, they had Camden obviously tabbed as your Monday guy if you went there. And then when things get a little dicey, you throw him back in the bullpen just in case maybe things went to extras or something like that. So it would have been really interesting to see how they had handled that. But it also shows you either of those guys would have been a great selection to go Monday.
Yeah. Yeah, just being a little bit more dominant with their starting pitching Saturday and Sunday just wasn't there. Just continue to throw strikes. Defense got to play. They have to play behind you too. You know, that's kind of what put Chase out of that game pretty early is because, you know, you had some errors and you found yourself in a hole and you just had to make a change. The pitch count got up. So.
And I think that too goes into, like you said, throwing strikes. That's what this pitching staff is. That's their kind of calling card, that things are going to come over the plate. It's on the batters to make a play at that point and get a ball to the bat. Make them make a play. Don't gift them bases, because especially this Notre Dame team. You know, if they're getting on base, you're probably gifting a lot of it to them. So,
right. Who's got the big moment for you this weekend? I would assume you would think Jordan Beck's moment was probably the big one of the regional. Maybe even just the lefties in general that came out of the bullpen. Christian Moore, you know, he was huge those two games. Who's kind of your maybe unsung hero, or, you know, finds that key moment for you?
Yeah, there's so many guys you can go with. I do think you're going to get a better weekend from the infield as a whole. I think you're going to see some I don't expect the errors to be the same as Sunday night and Saturday. I think defensively, I think that's what you see there. Big moments as far as at the plate, man, I think you could go all the way up and down this lineup. You got Evan Russell, one home run away from Todd Helton's career home run record. That's got to be sitting in his mind when he comes up to the plate. Hopefully it's not too big in his mind, but you know it's got to be there.
Yeah.
Him making a big play would shock me 0% in a moment. Blake Burke, if he gets the chance to get on a ball, I mean, the dude could have 3-4 home runs this weekend alone, if given the chance. And then I think my obvious candidate is Jordan Beck. People keep wanting to say he's in a slump, and I don't know if that last shot in the ninth just fired him up that much more with all that outside noise. I think hopefully that settled him in, and I think maybe that's your big moment guy. Everyone's hitting the ball pretty well right now.
Yeah.
So especially if those guys get on base in front of him, I mean, you're looking at Jordan bringing, you know, maybe it's not the long ball, that is his big moment, but, you know, two RBI single, two RBI double is 100% in the cards for a guy that can hit the ball like he does.
Yeah. I'll agree with that. I'm going to go Joey from Tampa. I think he, you know, he had kind of a quiet regional. I mean, he had a great regional.
He was just steady Eddie, right? Like he was always there.
Right. Yeah. He was that guy that, like, he's not going to get the headlines. He didn't flip anybody off going to second base. He didn't, you know, he kind of threw down his bat, but didn't have the huge bat flip like Drew Gilbert. But, I mean, he was as good as anybody in that regional.
Yeah, I like that one too. I think that's the guy that you look back on Tennessee's postseason and who was always around, and it's going to be Joey from Tampa.
Yeah,
I like that.
Christian Moore get any more chances this weekend?
And it's hard. I mean, unless you just don't ever. I mean, unless everyone in front of him just playing really, really well, and you never need him, you may not. just because, like you said, just the freaking wealth of talent this Tennessee team has. But I think after this weekend, if you get a chance to put him in the game, it's going to be hard not to do it. You know, if you feel like he's you need to play bad, he's probably your first call.
Yeah. I mean, he seems perfectly comfortable with coming off the bench and getting a hit when just when Tennessee needs it. So
I don't envy Tony Vitello's coaching this season. It's gotta be difficult, man. Yeah. Well, I mean, you look at guys like Christian Moore. I mean, Jared Dickey, I hate for him that he got hurt, but it makes your job a little bit easier putting Blake Burke at DH. You know, denying either of those guys that spot had to be a pretty tough. So, yeah, I don't envy that. And then you have Christian Moore, who's just – I mean, he's had highlight reels in the field. He's had him at the plate. Hard to keep him off. And then, of course, you've got Seth Stevenson, who's had – been a solid leadoff hitter and had plenty of highlights in the field. It's again, don't envy it. I know the pitching – starting lineup once Blade Tidwell especially kind of came back to full health has probably been a challenge and finding, you know, keeping the guys' confidence up, keeping the guys happy, and then you know, just making sure you're making the right decisions. But credit to every guy that's come in. Like, they have not wavered one bit. So which makes the decision making process harder. But credit to them I'm sure Tony Vitello would rather have it that way than, you know, going back to like his first year where you're looking around on the bench like, all right, where do I go next?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's definitely going to be National Coach of the Year, and for good reason. It's going to be a great weekend of baseball. If you do get a chance to go this weekend, I just encourage you to be loud, be proud, make that thing a hornet's nest. You know,
take out that mortgage. Take out that second mortgage on the home. Interest rates are good right now. What do you mean?
Yeah. They're going up, though. Get them while you can.
Oh, they're not good right now. Not an ideal time to take out the second mortgage on the home.
Definitely not. But let's get into the rest of the Super Regionals real quick. Again, I don't have a lot for them, but I do kind of just want to mention the matchups. So you have Tennessee-Notre Dame, Stanford-UConn, UNC Arkansas, Texas, East Carolina. I think that's going to be a really good series.
Mm-hmm.
Being at East Carolina, yeah. I think that's cool. Texas A&M, Louisville, two really good offenses. That's going to be interesting. Southern Miss and Ole Miss, that's going to be a good one.
Dude, that's
in Hattiesburg.
If you see more come out about Tennessee's, you know, team and fan base this week, you can chalk it up to the national media hating Tennessee, because I promise you there's going to be fist fights in the stands, maybe on the field. Like, that's going to be a mean Super Regional.
Yeah. So there was five non-one seeds in the Supers. Tennessee obviously gets one of those, but, you know, the rest were the host side. The rest of the matchups, you got Oklahoma, Virginia Tech, Oregon State, and Auburn. I think that's going to be an interesting one, too, because Auburn can hit. Yeah. You know, I don't know how their pitching's okay. It's not terrific or anything. But, you know, if Vanderbilt can hold their own with Oregon State, I feel like Auburn should, too.
And Auburn's bats are just white hot right now, too. Not necessarily known for just hitting a ton of long balls. And then just the amount they came up with in their regional is insane.
Any upsets that you're just like, I think they're gonna take it?
And I'd love to see the Stanford UConn Stanford upset. Won't happen, but I'd love to see it.
Yeah.
Are we just calling like by seeds upsets, or how are we?
I'm thinking I think Arkansas has the potential to beat North Carolina. I think them knocking out Oklahoma State like they did, I think Oklahoma State's a better team than North Carolina.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they definitely got through the hardest part of their, you know, regional slash super regional play, and getting through that Oklahoma State team. So, yeah, I'd agree with that one. I think, too, an interesting one is the Oklahoma-Virginia Tech super regional. Oklahoma maybe gets, you know, rain on their side, help them get out of that one. And then you get a Virginia Tech team who a lot of people were shocked they were as high as they were. I don't know. And then they had what, you know, we would call a fairly easy regional. So I think that's a matchup to look at if you're just talking seeding. I don't know what team you would list as necessarily way better or whatever. It's not a Virginia Tech's not just a loaded team. So, but I mean, I think Oklahoma has a chance to get out of Supers.
Yeah, and Tennessee was they're 6-2 against the remaining teams in the Super Regional. I think they're 20-3 against team that made the NCAA tournament, which is just insane.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Let's get into segments real quick. Stupidity. You got any?
I do. Pull this one up here. It's an Ole Miss fan. Actually, did we talk about Greg Olson? Different Greg Olson?
Yes,
we Orioles did. Greg Olson. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll leave that one. Oh, my favorite one was that guy. I'm not even gonna pull up his name. But the guy that was all mad about Jordan Beck flipping off in the field, and his avatar was him flipping off the camera.
Oh yeah.
At a golf tournament. Those are sacred grounds, bro.
Yeah, what do you do?
Sacred grounds. And then I've got the Omaha bound Reb. And then they also got 420 in their app, which is like, listen, do what you want to do, but don't come at us. He said, there's one thing I love about Ole Miss above all else. It's that everything we do with class and honor the big man upstairs, all capitalized big man upstairs, potty toddy. And I just responded with Hugh Freeze honoring Christ when he was ordering hookers. I just need to know that. I don't know, man. I'm just like, listen, I'm not going to sit here and say Tennessee is just the most classy program, the most Christ-like program, if you want to go there, if you're a Christian. But there's not another program in the country that can claim that. Not even Liberty, who hired Hugh Freeze, who's a Christian school. They don't even get that honor. So, listen, if you're cheering for your team because they're good guys, I mean, you're probably cheering for the wrong team, because I guarantee you they're not good guys. You don't know them. Who cares? I just want wins.
Yeah. That's a good point. Sure. I hate it's the fail, and there was just a lot of people that condone the umpire that pushed the ECU player for hitting a home run. Like, he pushed him along after he was admiring how far he just hit that freaking bomb in a regional. They're like, he's just, trying to help the game along. I'm like, no, he's trying to make it about himself.
Yeah, he's not trying to help the game along.
Yeah.
No. Hey, if he's trying to help the game along, he should tell the pitcher to throw more strikes.
Exactly.
Pitch better strikes. That's how he should help the game along. Mm-hmm. Did you see that Maryland – UConn play at first? A lot of arguments.
Yeah, I did see that.
Okay, so, I mean, it seems like everyone has established that that's the rule. Can we also establish that that's the dumbest rule of all time?
I agree.
Because he never came off the first baseline. It'd be different if he was running inside the baseline or something, and impeded.
Or, like, he changed direction. Or something like. But he ran straight the entire time. Yeah.
At least make that rule reviewable to go, did he change path to impede play? And if he didn't, then it shouldn't be a.
And that's the rule. And he didn't. He did not stop the player from catching the ball. That's why the rule is in place.
So the way I understood it is. In a situation like that, the runner does have a responsibility to, find the lane between the two, which it wouldn't help the play anyways. If he had ran on the outside, between the two lines, wouldn't have helped the play. He just would have maybe avoided the collision, but he probably got hit in the head with the ball. I mean, it's probably interference either way.
Well, if he tries to avoid that, he's coming into play.
Right.
So he touches that base. If he makes a move or is like the direction is going towards second base, he could be tagged out.
Right. Yeah. It's a dumb rule. It's a dumb rule. And like you said, if he changes direction,
How do you see that in real time and call that out?
Oh, I know. Especially, I mean, you just say, hey, listen, you got to hate hustle, too.
Yeah, like if you replay that and you're like, I mean, technically, yeah, he could be out. But in real time, there's no way you make that call.
Yeah. Probably, and it may not cost Mel in the game there. It did bring a run back. They would have been down a run, the tying run on first. Because they sent the runner that came home back to third on that play. Yeah, it was, I don't know. It's just, some of the baseball rules are dumb, let alone the unwritten rules.
Yeah. Agreed.
There's dumb rules in every sport, so I'm not just gonna throw that at baseball, but yeah, that was tough. That was tough.
Yeah. That's all I got.
That's it, guys. I'm ready for the super regional. I'm fired up. Like you said, I'd love to be there on Sunday, but I'd also love to go into Sunday knowing that Tennessee's on their way to Omaha. So
yeah,
I'm happy. Absolutely,
save us a seat.
Yep, bingo,
guys. That's all we got. Thanks for listening. Again, this weekend, start that thing on at 6 p.m. on Friday night. You have 2 p.m. on Saturday, and then Sunday if necessary, to be determined. So enjoy the block party. Enjoy that hornet's nest that is Lindsey Nelson. Be rowdy. Maybe if you get kicked out, don't try to shave your mustache and sneak back in.
No, but, do that.
If you get away with it, perfect. If you don't, that's on you.
Just don't come back as belligerent as you were without the mustache.
Yeah, like, maybe sober up a little bit. Maybe drink some water.
Be a little bit smarter. Yeah.
Cold shower or something. Exactly. Guys, again, thanks for listening. Have a great rest of your week. We're bringing the boat in, and we out.